So this is Jan Blodgett on Friday, January 13th, 2017, talking with Patricia Stinson in the Davidson College Library. So we're just going to start with asking you a little bit about your family, who your parents were and your grandparents, which is actually, I know, a complicated question or a long question. You've got famous parents and grandparents.
Yes, I have. All right, my parents were Evelyn Mayhew Carr, and my father's name was Orlando Carr. My grandparents was Minnie Torrance Mayhew, and my grandfather was Johnny Mayhew.
And on your mom's side, your dad. So it's Minnie Mayhew on your mom's side?
On my mom's side, okay. Yes.
So do you know who your dad's parents were?
His father's name was Fred Carr.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about grandmother. I know I've got it at home somewhere, but I don't know it right off the top of my head.
So did you know your grandparents at all?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you remember about...
My grandmother Minnie, she worked here at Davidson College. She worked at the Phi Beta Kappa
the Eden House.
At the Eden House, she worked there. She and my mom both did here for many years. Then she also worked for Will Terry. She worked for the Whites. She worked for Coach Couch. She worked for a number of people. My grandmother did. My mom worked for Dr. Bill Williams, Dr. Clark.
That's Tom Clark.
Tom Clark. She also worked for the Keltons. She worked for the Whites too, and Avengers. They pretty much worked for a lot of the Davidson College community. And when I got older, I worked for, or babysat for the Keltons, the Ratliffs, and the Avengers. That was when school, when I get out of school, I'd babysit for their kids when I was young.
So that was your first job?
I guess you could call it a job. I didn't really call it a job, but yeah. That was more or less, yes. My grandfather worked for... the asbestos mill there is the only place I know him to work. Oh, okay. I take that back. He also worked for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system at the schools. He worked at Davis School one time, and also he worked at North Mecklenburg.
Okay.
My dad was a truck driver when we lived in Charlotte before we officially moved to Davidson. My dad worked for Sears Roebuck, the Charlotte Observer, worked for Alexander Trucking Company.
Okay.
And he also worked at the asbestos mill in Kemspun in Morrisville.
Okay, so he's had quite a career.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about... Well, okay, so you mentioned that you started in Charlotte, so
yes.
You were born in Charlotte.
No, I was born in Mooresville.
Okay.
We lived in Charlotte. My dad got a job there in Charlotte working, and so we lived in Double Oaks there in Charlotte until I was 6 years old.
Okay.
I had one brother older than I was, and he left, and when we left Charlotte, he was in the first grade.
Okay.
He went to the first grade there. I came here to Davidson and started first grade at Ada Jenkins.
Okay, so tell me a little about going to school. So you started at Ada Jenkins and went through eighth grade?
I believe it was eighth grade we went through at there, and then went to Torrance Light in ninth grade.
Okay, so where did you move to in Davidson? And I'm thinking about how far did you have to walk to get to Ada Jenkins?
When we moved to Davidson, we lived... I can't remember the name of the road. I'm not good with roads.
Yeah.
I just know where it is. But it was out there by where Mr. Houston Logan Houston and where the old...
The Coke Lumber?
Yeah.
So the Jatong Catawba
Street area. Near right across from Hope Lumber Company. And also there was a blacksmith shop there.
Okay.
Tut Smith was the guy's name who owned the shop there. It was blacksmith.
And how do you spell his first name?
All I know is Tut Smith. I don't know how he spelled it.
Probably T-U-T or something like that.
Probably something like that. And that probably wasn't his real name. That's probably just what we called him.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever know Charlie Torrance? He had a blacksmith shop on Main Street.
I didn't.
Okay. Because I think he's related to like Margene Torrance and... She was a niece or something.
No, I don't remember him.
Okay, so it wasn't too many blocks to Ada Jenkins.
No, it wasn't.
So I presume you walked most of the time? You didn't need to take the bus or?
We didn't have buses then. Okay. They weren't available for us. We walked and if the weather was bad, either my grandfather would pick us up or if my dad wasn't on his job driving. He would take us, or somebody, if it was, weather was bad, we always got to ride to school, somehow or another, the neighborhood.
So when you start, how many, you have 8 brothers and sisters, is that right?
Yeah, a total, there's 9 of us and 1 foster child.
Okay, so at any time, there were probably 2 or 3 or 4 of you going to Ada Jenkins, some younger?
Well, I know me and my older brother started out there first. And then Garfield, he was next, because Garfield's right after me. He's like 2 years after me. And there was always somebody going with us to school up there. I'm trying to think who all it would have been. I know at one time, then Brenda Howard, Tapier, she joined in the group with us because she started going to... Ada Jenkins, so we would all walk.
Okay. What do you remember at school? Any teachers stand out to you? Well, any activities that you really enjoyed?
All the teachers stood out. Miss Brown, Josephine Brown was her name. She was our first grade teacher. Mm-hmm. She made the biggest impression on me because when I always said when I finished school, I wanted to be a teacher just like her, first grade teacher. And in the mornings we would get started. We always did a scripture. Mm-hmm. And then she taught us, she was real particular about your penmanship. Mm-hmm. We had to make those letters just right. And back in those days we printed. Mm-hmm. We had to print. And so she was real particular about that. She always made sure we read. We always had to read, and then you come back and you tell what you read. In the first grade, I don't think we did a lot with math and stuff, but I know reading, writing, you know, just like they say, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, we had to do the 1 + 1 and the 2 + 2s and all that stuff. The other thing she instilled in us was being courteous. We always had to raise our hand. Mm-hmm. We could not just blurt out if we wanted to say something. If we did, we would get in some trouble. So she wasn't a hardcore, but she was, you knew what she wanted you to do, and you did it. Had no problems with that. Then Ms. Kibrow came along. I can't remember what grade she in. She was good. And she and Ms. Boyer, at the time, her name was Whitley when we first started. We had music. We always had to go to music, and you always had to go outside to play. Always had to do that. And they taught me the piano. Miss Whitley and Miss Kimbrough taught me piano. I had a piano, and we used to go down to the Davidson Presbyterian Church to take our lessons. That's where we took our lessons. Yes, when we were in school, we took our piano lessons.
Did they drive you down, or did you just? Walk over. That's a pretty far walk.
Not from where we lived in, because when school was out, we went to my grandmother's house.
Oh, okay.
And so we would just go from there, over there. So, yeah, that was Miss Brown, Miss Whitley, Miss Jones, Miss Ross. We had one, and she was really tough, and that was Miss Morris. Mm. Ms. Morris didn't play. She didn't allow us to chewing gum or anything. And if you did and she caught you, sometimes you get a paddling, depending on how many times she caught you, but most of the time she just give you some, put some castor oil in you.
You made
a little cup of what you were chewing, and then you had to put it back in your mouth and chew it. Castor oil.
Oh.
So, and then, but the one person that made the biggest impression was the principal at the time, and that was Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris was real stern, but he made sure you were going to get your, back then we used to diagram sentences. Mm-hmm. You had to take them apart in math. And he was the one who instilled in me the idea of the math part, because when I finally went to Torrance Lytle, to high school, or I guess now they would call it junior high because we started in that grade. But anyway, I got an A+ in math.
Wow.
That was my best one. I love math.
How many children were from not in Davidson and Ada Jenkins?
That part I'm not sure how many, but I know when I went, we had children there from, most of them came from Cornelius. And I think that's where they were from, Cornelius.
Okay. I'm wondering if it was a big transition when you went to Torrance Lytle and had more people from further around. More Huntersville and
well, the
church. And
the transition wasn't that.
Did you already know most of the people you were going to go
to? We did, because of our family history. See, my dad was from Charlotte or from Huntersville or Long Creek, down that area. And so a lot of times the families would get together and we would be with those same people that we went to school with down at no, a few of them we didn't know, but most of them we did. Now, any of them that came up from off of, way down off of Batesford Road, like the Charlotte area, we wouldn't know, but most of them we knew. And most of them were relatives.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you remember about high school? And what kind of, were you in any kind of clubs or activities? I've seen the Torrance Lytle yearbooks, and they had juniorettes and choirs and 4-H's and that kind of thing.
I was in the choir, but I never could sing that good, and I still can't. But I was probably more in the different clubs that did things. I know we had a the home economics group. We had a group, and we learned how to sew, and we learned how to bake, and they taught us that type of thing. The guys that went there, they were in like an agriculture class. And they also had a class that taught mechanics, auto mechanics and stuff like that. But the biggest thing most of the people did was they were cheerleaders. I wasn't a cheerleader because at the age of 9 years old, I had a rheumatic fever. I was out of school for 100 days, so a lot of things I couldn't do. At the time, they said it was affecting my heart, but as I got older, it seemed to fix itself. So
well, that's good.
Hadn't had any problems from that. And in the third grade I was out of school for 100 days. And
isn't there a story about you being able to go back to school in the
right.
fourth grade?
Yeah, the system at the time, if you were out of school so many days, you had to stay. And at that point in time, when I got ready to go back, and we were doing tests at that time, they told me I couldn't go to the next grade. And the teacher said, if I couldn't go, then nobody should be able to go, because when I went back and did the testing, I made 5 point something, which meant I was doing fifth grade work, even having been out of school. So she and my mom appealed to the Board of Education, and so they went ahead and they let me go ahead and be promoted to the next grade.
So when you, phone's ringing there. When you were home during that time, did you have access to books? Were they?
Oh yeah, I had it.
So what kind of, you know, when you're with your family, I know Frances Beale talks about the fact that her family were sports fanatics, so they always had newspapers and were reading sports pages, and she actually learned to read, reading football stories. So
I'm sure we had all that. I know we always had newspapers, always, but the one book that was instilled that I did a lot was, and I can't remember now who gave it to me, but somebody gave me a Bible story book. Mm. It had all the stories of the Bible. And that was the one book that I had most of the time. And my grandfather, my aunts, and my mom, and whoever would come in, I'd pull that book out and they'd read me a story. Because I, at the time I couldn't walk or anything, so I'd be there laying there, sitting in the chair, and they would read to me. And so that's how I learned. What I learned was from, you know,
being read to. That's great. Yeah. So you go to high school, you're in the choir, then you graduate. And how many people were in your graduating class?
We had 100 and some. We had the largest class that went down there. It used to be, it was 9-1, 9-2, 9-3. Well, when we went, it wound up being a 9-4. So we had a number of kids, numbers of people. And so there was like 100 better that graduated.
And were you, how many more years was Torrance Lytle there after you graduated? Were you the last class to graduate
from? We were the last class that graduated from Torrance Lytle in 1966.
Did you know that when you graduated, that the next year the students would be going
to
North Mac?
Yeah, we knew that. Well, what happened was we were told that the year before, or the same the year when we were going to the 12th grade, and they gave gave you an option. You could either stay at Torrance Lytle or you could go to North.
Oh, okay.
And so I chose to stay at Torrance Lytle. Some of the rest of them chose to go to North. So some of them did go to North. That would have been in our class. And so just this year we celebrated 50 years of being out of school.
What was it like knowing you were the last graduating class from that school? Was something you all were really proud of? You were sad about? You were...
Well, it was twofold. We walked around a lot saying, you know, we shut it down. And, we were so bad we shut it down. But it didn't feel good. I'm not sure how everybody else felt about it. I would have liked for it to stay. But the other thing is I never liked the idea of it being separate to start with, you know, mm-hmm. being separate. And at Torrance Lytle, we had some wonderful teachers. I had one, Ms. Hackett. She was our, she taught us typing and that mm-hmm. type of stuff to get us ready. And so at that point in time, after that, instead of being a teacher, I wanted to be a secretary. And I didn't like shorthand. Mm-hmm. Didn't like it at all. But typing was what I really liked. And I think from what I learned there is what helped me here at Davidson College. Because mm-hmm. what I learned there helped me get the job, I think, here. Even though one of the criteria here at that time, they said, you need to know shorthand. Well, I didn't know the first thing of shorthand. So the first time I applied, they wouldn't give me a job. Mm-hmm. Then second time I applied, because at the time they already had a African-American working here, and I guess they didn't need any more. So then the second time they applied, I got the job, and the funny thing was, like I told Mr. Stevenson, I said, it's funny, I said, the first time I applied, because I didn't know shorthand, you wouldn't hire me. I said, and this time you didn't even ask me if I could type if I had 10 fingers, you know. But I did get the job, and I was here for, I think, 2.5 years.
And that was you working in human resources? Or
no,
personnel?
I was working in the secretarial.
Okay.
Secretarial services.
So how did that work? Did people, you just got different things every day to do?
Yes, what happened was, well, Ms. I think it was Pritchard. Was her name Pritchard? Anyway, there was a person in charge of the secretarial. And so the professors would bring in work. She would divvy the work out to the different ones. And she made that choice. And I think at the time I was typing a whole bunch of, at a good speed. So I pretty much typed for Dr. Ratliff, Randy Kincaid, and I'm not sure what their area was.
They were both economics.
Okay, I did a lot of their typing. Might have been because I liked math too, but anyway, but that. And trying to think who else. I'm not sure if I did a lot for Dr. Clark, but I know I did a lot of work for Kincaid and Ratliff. And Avenger, yeah, Dr. Yeah. Avenger.
Yeah. So when you actually graduated from high school, what did you do?
Okay, when I graduated from high school, I started working, well, prior to that, I was doing something with Head Start while I was in school. And my, I guess now they would call it like an intern, but anyway, I worked with Head Start with one, assisting one of the teachers. That was my first real job.
Okay. Was it here at Davidson and Jenkins?
It was at A.S. Jenkins. And then after that, I got married in 1966 too.
Okay.
And had my first child. And I didn't work at all.
And how did you meet your husband? At school?
We knew each other from, I just go down to Cornelius to the center.
Okay.
And I met him there. And he knew my brother. And so, you know, that's, you know, that happened. And so then the next job I had was, I worked at General Time. That was my real first job.
Okay.
At General Time, worked second shift. And then when I left, I wanted to work in the office. And so I applied for a job at the office, in the office at General Time, and didn't get that one either.
Okay.
It was just difficult for us to get those type jobs.
So you were working like production line, making the clocks?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was soldering at General Time.
I'm sorry.
And then job came open up at Dremel Manufacturing. I found out about it, I applied for it, and I went there and started working at Draymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and more secretarial than?
It was in the Human Resource Department.
Cool.
So then I left there, and actually I took a cut in pay.
Oh, but you wanted to work in an office environment?
I sure did. And they wouldn't give me the chance at General Time, so I said, you know, the heck with it. I left General Time, I was making $6 an hour. I went to work at Draymore for $3.75, something like that. And stayed there for 2.5 years or better, something like that, I guess. And when my daughter started going to first grade, they would have programs. And what was happening was I would have to either be late going to work up there, or I'd have to come back down the road to her programs. And so then the job came open here at Davidson College. And when that job came open here and I was able to get it, I came back to Davidson College and started working.
And you said for about 2.5 years as well, and then?
I think that was how it was. And then, I'm not even sure why, but a job came open in Charlotte. I found out about it through a temp agency. I don't even know.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, and so, and they were, I applied for it. And I went down for the interview, and they hired me. And I left there. I was making $500-some a month here, and went down there making $775, and stayed down there for 36 years.
So what was that commute like? You must have seen it change from when there was hardly anybody on the road to
Charlotte.
It really
did. When I first went, there wasn't any 77. It could take me maybe 15, 20 minutes at the most to get there. And then 77 came into play, and it made it easier too because it was just a straight shot. And but then, and I can't even tell you what year it was, but then after a while it got to be really difficult. Really difficult. And the commute got to be anywhere, you know, it started out, like I said, 15 to 20 minutes. Then it started being an hour to 2 hours sometimes, just depending. So it really got to be really bad. But, you know, the experience from all of it, you know, like I said, you know, when I look back at it and, you know, the different jobs and how they came about, the only thing I can say but God, you know, because The one in Charlotte, I don't, you know, even getting back to Davidson College, you know, because I always thought that was out. But before I my cousin worked at Davidson College before I did, Agnes Robbins, she was here, and she left here and went to work in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So
one of the things we're also interested in is what people did for entertainment. So you as a teenager, you as a young married person, and then as a mom with children, you know, I've heard people talk about churches are the places where you had church picnics, you had activities, were you in the teen canteen, you must have been.
Yeah, well, that was before I, that's before I got married. The teen canteen, we used to go there on Friday nights, I believe it was, Friday or Saturday nights. But anyway, we'd go to teen canteen, we danced, we played games. Prior to that, when we lived out there off of Chaton Street, my brother and I was the only girl there for a while, so it was me and two brothers. They played marbles.
Okay.
And but then when in order for them to get me to play marbles, they had to help me jump rope, so we jumped rope. So they would turn the rope while I jumped. And then, you know, there was such a thing called hot peas or something. Mm-hmm. They'd turn it real fast. Yeah. But that was what we did, and they played ball and everything. Back when we lived out there at Chaton Street, Brenda Tapia used to come up to the house, and we used to climb up in the trees and stuff, and because the trees we had pecans and persimmons, so we would climb there and throw them down and get them when we can't get through and stuff. But that's what we did when we were real, real young. Then after that, at the Ada Jenkins, we used to would have dances. And the gym they had over there, I mean, we thought that gym was the best thing that ever happened when they finally put that gym there. And my brothers and all them played basketball there. And so we would always go to basketball games. And they would play each other at one time, and then they started playing the different schools and stuff like that. But we also had dances there too at the school. And like I said, and as you know, just said somebody said, there was always picnics. Either the churches would have them, or the schools would have them, or just families would get together and cook and eat.
Did you walk the Cornelius to the movie theater?
I think I did once, but most of the time when I walked to Cornelius, we walked down there to the, they had a center there in Cornelius. My husband, the guy I married, or he's my husband now, his uncle had a, there was a center there called Smithfield Center, Community Center, and on Friday nights and Saturday nights, they would have dances there. And like I said, that's where I met my husband at. We were there, and he was talking to my brother, and he wanted to know if my brother could get me to talk to him, and da 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 da, and that's how that happened. So, but we didn't go to the movies that much. Now, when me and my husband was dating, we used to always go to the movie in Mooresville, and me and him, and his sister, and they had one in Charlotte. So those were the movies we went to most of the time. But during that whole time, all the movies were integrated. In Mooresville, we used to have to sit in the balcony, always up in the balcony. And sometimes just to be a little on the mischievous side, we'd be up there and we'd throw some popcorn down there on other people. Not to hurt them, because you know popcorn don't hurt that much, but anyway.
Yeah, just a little protest.
Yeah, and but I just remember going to the movie in Cornelius just one time that I can remember. But most of the time I went to the movies, my husband, or at the time he was my boyfriend, but me and him and his sisters, he drove us to the movies. And but we always found something to do, you know.
So one other thing we're interested in is black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And where people shopped, and you know, where you felt comfortable shopping, and when you know, if you chose to go to Charlotte or
Well, we mm-hmm. most of the time we went to Charlotte because my dad, from as long as I know, my dad always had a car. So we went to Charlotte to shop. And here in Davidson, I think the only black-owned businesses I knew were the barber shops. And
the blacksmiths, I guess. The blacksmith shops.
Only one I knew was Mr. Tess Smith.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the only ones I knew. And
were there any women who did hair, maybe on their homes, not necessarily
Job? Oh, yeah. Miss Catherine Carr, and I think that's the other part. She and my godmother, Virginia Lowry, did hair here in Davidson. I'm trying to think if that's all. And that was the other thing that inspired me was that I wanted to be a hairdresser. And so I finally got to be a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Mrs. Connor have the candy shop by Ada Jenkins when you were going there, or was that later? Because some people have talked about that there was a little where the Davidson Pizza Company is now.
Oh, yeah, that was Miss, wasn't Miss Connor, what was the name?
Alexander? Mm-hmm. It's Costello's mom.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't him, it was another lady before then. I know Miss Norbell Torrance was mm-hmm. there at one time. What was her name? I can't think of her name. She had the shop there. It was more than just a candy shop. She had donuts. She had all kinds of stuff there, and it was there. Then after that, Miss Norbell Torrance had it. And then Ralph Johnson had a store right mm-hmm. down from there that was similar to that one. Trying to think what else.
Did you know Warren McKissick at all?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was the best shoe. Yeah, that's right. He was here. He was the best shoe person in town. I mean, in the whole world. When he left, made everybody sad. Mm-hmm. And he didn't charge your arm and leg to do your shoes or to fix your belts or whatever you mm-hmm. needed done. And we used to go to his place a lot. Back then, there were two grocery stores. It was the Mayhew and Doc Anderson. Yeah. And those were the two. Places that we would go to, and also we'd pick up our clothes at the cleaners there, Jackson Cleaners. When I worked at Davidson College, Beer Mac had a store there, and that was one of the ones you go in the front door, but anytime you went in, they always was standing watching you. Yeah, watching you. And I remember one time, we went, me and one of the girls from here that she and I worked together, we went in and they were watching. And she said to them, she says, oh, you don't need to watch us. She says, she ain't gonna steal nothing. And I'm wondering where that come from, but then I wasn't paying any attention to them watching me, but she did. Because she knew that's what they did.
Yeah.
So we always went into the M&M soda shop.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Murray.
Yeah, that they didn't really like kids all that much.
Well, if they did, you didn't know.
Okay.
Not that I.
You were a good kid. You paid attention to your first grade teacher, yeah. So you were polite. So.
And so we would go there. And I'm trying to think where else. My brothers, they worked at the barber shop. And there was a men's store up here, I think, that they would go to and shop at. We had a drugstore here. Had pretty much everything that they've always had. It wasn't as elaborate as it is now, but it was for a small town. Mm-hmm. We had, one of the things we did, we used to have a swing used to hang from the branches in the trees mm-hmm. and stuff, and we would swing. And you know, sitting here talking about it now brings back a lot of good memories.
Oh.
And then after I got married, I moved to, well, I didn't move. We, I moved my church affiliation to Amy Zion. I was Presbyterian.
Okay.
And that's where I grew up, at Presbyterian and Baptist. My dad was Baptist, and my mom was a member of Presbyterian. And then when she married, I think she joined the Baptist church. And likewise, when I married my husband, I joined the Amy Zion
church. So were you going to Gethsemane as a child? Or were...
No. My dad was a member of Mount Olive Baptist Church.
Okay, and, so you go down to Mount Olive.
That's where we would go.
Okay.
There.
And then when you got married, which church, which Amy Zion church, were you going to? Bethel or Torrance? Or
Torrance Chapel.
Torrance Chapel.
Torrance Chapel is the one my husband was a member of. And that's where all my kids grew up at and were baptized there and everything. So.
And you're still a member there?
Yes.
And that's sort of the mother church for most of the...
That's where Ron goes. Ron
Potts.
Ron Potts.
Yeah.
He's a member there. I'm not sure you would call it the mother church or not. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not
and sure. I've heard that they've sort of seeded the other churches around here, that they were sort of the...
The Amy Zion church?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a lot of the history with their church.
Mm-hmm.
I know at Davidson Presbyterian, they had one of the best choirs and choir directors that I know of. And I just go to Wednesday night Bible prayer meetings and that type of stuff. Sunday school there at Davidson Presbyterian. And then on Sunday evenings, when everything was quieting down, there was a place that we used to go, Miss Copeland's.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We used to go to Miss Copeland's for Bible for study. And she always had us a snack, but we'd go there for studies. But you had to learn so many about, I think it was 100 Bible verses. And once you did that, she gave you a Bible or New Testament. And I still have mine. My mom has it. You know, she still has it. And I remember when Dr. Clark started doing the gnomes,
uh-huh.
Because I sat for one of them.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You're a gnome?
Yeah.
Which one? Do you remember?
I don't think it was a gnome.
Oh.
What it was a headpiece. It was like a headpiece, and that was back when I had
long hair,
ponytails, and plaits, and all that stuff. And he captured all that in that piece. And I want to think that he gave it to me before he closed up shop, because it used to be up there. And I think he gave it to me. I think my mom has it, but I'm not really sure.
How fun.
Yeah.
And he does some beautiful work along with the gnomes. He does actual busts.
I think probably I was his first one. I think I was 6 years old.
Oh.
6 years old, I think, when he did that. But, my life here in Davidson was pretty, not really exciting, except for just the normal stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. We didn't get in trouble. We weren't allowed to get in trouble. We knew what time we had to be at home. We had to have our homework done and all that stuff. We always had homework.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all gather there and do the homework. And but like I said, we knew what time the lights had to be out. And not say we were great, great kids, but we didn't cause a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why my mom is still doing as well as she's doing now, is because we didn't cause her a lot of trouble.
You didn't give her too many of her gray hairs.
Right. Right.
Well, she is remarkably spry and still active.
Oh,
I'm just amazed at how much she accomplishes.
And her mother was the same way. Minnie was 80-some years old when she stopped working, I think, for Will Terry. And the whole time, she always walked out there. She walked.
Whoa.
Walked. Until later on, and my grandfather started carrying her, but she walked. She would tell us, if it was snowing, she said, you don't need to be going out to work. You need to stay at home. And then we'd call over there and find out she'd already went to work. You know. So that's where we get a lot of our work ethics from our grandparents. And like I said, like I told you the other day, I remember my grandfather, my great-grandfather on my grandmother's side, he worked at Ada Jenkins doing the boiler, doing that type of thing.
That's right, yeah. So you'd go in early to
and then did the cleaning, the buildings and stuff, and there. We had some of the best cooks at, because the meals at that time were cooked there.
Oh, okay.
They were cooked right there at the school. Miss Hill, Miss Jean Hill, and Miss Mary Carr. Those were the cooks. And we had a cooked meal every day.
Yeah, because they would not have added the cafeteria that's there now while you were a student. That was after you were Torrance Lytle, probably.
I want to think it was, I don't know if it was or not, but I know we had, there was a place there that we ate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything. We had a place, like I said, we went out and played. The boys played ball, and we did hopscotch and jump rope and different things like that, but we had to go out and play. That was a requirement. Mm-hmm. Even in at Torrance Lytle, it was a requirement. Had to have, that was called physical ed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So. All right.
Unless there's something else that's coming to mind that you want to talk about in your life or your family?
Other than, like I said, you already know I served on the town council.
That's right. I completely forgot that you, how did that happen? How did you end up on the town board?
I really don't know. Except for we were involved in the housing, the houses over there.
Right, okay. So Lakeside Terrace and all of the...
Yeah, and everything. And started out talking about affordable houses. And I was part of the the committee. I was the secretary and
had that for the Piedmont Development or that was human relations.
It was back then. It was called the West Side. I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, You mentioned Piedmont, so that was part of it. The name changed a couple of times, but I've got it on. I've got a flyer that I did for when I was running for council, and it had that information on there. Somebody, Annie Mildred, and my mom, and different ones mentioned to me about doing it. And so I said, okay. And I ran and I won. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we were able to get Central Piedmont up in this area because I knew we needed that. The other thing was the housing over there. And we were able to get a few sidewalks, not a lot. And then Lakeside, those apartments. Mm-hmm. I was on there when we did the apartments. And pretty much what I did is I polled our community to find out and brought it to the meetings to get some things done. And I served two terms, I believe it was. I think back then it was two-year terms.
Yeah.
Two-year terms. So I served there. And I was on Park and Rec committee because we were broken up into committees. Mm-hmm. And we had town council people who headed certain committees and everything. And one of my main interests now is trying to get some of that back to where when you got an issue in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. there's a commission you can go to who will help you get that resolved, and we don't have that now.
Yeah, it's one of the downsides of having representatives cover sort of the whole town. You don't necessarily have a tie to a very specific one.
Right. And looking at it, my one thing is I could see, you know, Councilman Fuller being part of, because he lives over in that area. And so, you know, I would think he would be a good...
I think so, yeah.
Well, one for that one, but now I don't know where the other commissioners, where they live or or reside or any of that type of stuff. I just know where he is and stuff, so.
So you can adopt him.
Yeah, and, well, I think my mom already has him and the Cashin.
Beth Cashin?
Yeah, because, and see, Beth Cashin, her family is down from where my husband's.
Okay.
From Cornelius, yes. Down that area, so, yeah. And but that's what I'd like to see happen now. And the other thing is something, the one thing that's causing some concern in our neighborhood is something for the kids to do. I know we've got Ada Jenkins over there, but a lot of the kids in our area don't use Ada Jenkins. See, back when we were coming up, my brothers and they would go over there, they'd play ball out there, or they could go in the gym and play ball. They could do that type of thing. And we could use the gym. Mm-hmm. Now it's not available for that type of use. So.
Yeah, I noticed when I've been there, there are a lot of older people there, so yeah. The children don't really have the basketball.
Was pretty much instrumental in the daycare center we got over there. And everything. I'm not even sure how it operates. When I left and went to work in Charlotte, you know how they call it, what to call it, a bed, what is it? You live somewhere, but all you do is sleep there.
What
is
bedroom community.
Yeah, yeah. So I lost
touch with a lot of stuff.
And then that's why I didn't run for town council anymore, because I couldn't get here for the meetings. And if I'm gonna be a part of something, I'm gonna be a part of it. So that's the one thing. Okay.
All right, thank you very much.